Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program via remote. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, July 20, 2021. Health authorities in South Sudan say the infectious COVID-19 Delta variant is in the country.
Out of 35 samples sent, 15 were sequenced, but out of those 15, 4 of them were Delta variant.
And some women in Sudan's Darfur region say intercommunal violence has affected their lives.
Some do not have a place to sleep, some lose their job and property and everything. Some are suffering from social pressure, raising children alone, taking care of elderly and sick people, and yet they do not earn anything for life.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Some women activists in Sudan's Darfur region say recent intercommunal violence in Al-Jinena town of West Darfur has caused suffering, anxiety, and depression. Women activists working for a local non-profit in Al-Jinena say hundreds of women are bearing heavy burdens because their husbands were killed during intercommunal violence. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
Women's rights activist Sumaya Musa, who works for the local NGO Strategic Initiative for Women in the Horn of Africa, says dozens of displaced women have developed symptoms of depression and anxiety over the past few months. Speaking to South Sudan in Focus from West Darfur's Al-Jinena town, Musa says hundreds of women lost their husbands, children, and property during fighting that erupted in April, which left more than 200 people dead and a little more than 200 others wounded. She says thousands of families have been sheltering in government buildings, schools, mosques, in overcrowded conditions with little access to proper sanitation.
Some do not have a place to sleep, some lose their job and property and everything. Some are suffering from social pressure, raising children alone, taking care of elderly and sick people, and yet they do not earn anything for life. So this economic and social pressure have really affected their lives.
In late April, the UN said about 65,000 people, mostly women and children, were displaced after violence erupted in West Darfur in early April. Musa says her office documented dozens of cases of fighting among families in the gathering sites, adding that some women were reportedly raped or sexually harassed. She says these incidents are mostly covered up for fear of stigma.
There are a lot of women who got miscarriage and they really are in need of psychosocial support. There are those who have unwanted pregnancy through rape cases and other forms of gender-based violence. We all know that during wartime there are a lot of things that happen.
The activist says women are hoping that peace will be restored in the area soon so they can return to their homes and try to continue their normal lives. She says many women are now keen on monitoring the peace process in Darfur, especially after the signing of the Juba peace agreement between the Sudanese government and the armed groups.
They have a relationship with the social peace, and I do not know if women are left far behind and they are not aware of the political development in the country or the peace process. That will definitely affect them.
Musa says several women in the gathering sites do not want to talk about the abuses they suffered during the fighting due to the disappointment that they have experienced over years, believing they will not receive help or see justice in the court system. Women express concern over lack of protection as they go to the work to support their families, Musa says.
The most important thing is to give full protection to women against all forms of violence, especially at home or on the streets, against sexual harassment when they are going out to look for work or they are returning back to the camps. Some even need protection while they are at work as well.
Musa says, despite these challenges, some aid agencies, NGOs, are working to provide services to women. She says the United Nations Population Fund has set up 5 temporary spaces where social workers coordinate with the midwives deployed by the State Ministry of Health to provide sexual and reproductive health services and at the same time support victims of gender-based violence. Musa says she hopes that more trained social workers, psychologists, and healthcare providers will be deployed to help women in the West Darfur gathering sites. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
Some residents of Juba Town have raised concern over a new requirement by traffic police who have been asking drivers to produce what they call driving test certificate. Some drivers say the police did not inform the public about the new directives. The spokesperson for the South Sudan Police Service says the decision was reached after traffic police realized some drivers have forged driving permits. For VOA News, Winnie Chirino reports from Juba.
Juba resident Data Gordon says 2 weeks ago, a traffic officer who stopped him on the Anmis Road confirmed his driving permit, logbook and window tint documents were all valid. He says the officer then asked for his driving test certificate, which he didn't have. The officer said he was taking Gordon to the Bullock Traffic Police Station and asked him to pay 18,000 South Sudanese pounds, something he didn't agree to do. The officer then confiscated his driving permit, telling Gordon he could retrieve it later at the station. The next day, police told Gordon driving permits are now required as a result of singer Trisha C's fatal car accident. Gordon's documents were returned without any charges. Last Sunday, Gordon says another police officer stopped him on a different road for the same thing.
I told him I don't need any test certificate because I have a driving license, and before I got the driving license, I did a test. He said no, because I don't have a test certificate, I should pay a fine of 10,000 SSP or they will take me to Bullock and then I will pay 20,000 SSP for the test to be done and I will also be given the certificate.
Boboya James, another resident in Juba, says he finds driving in South Sudan very difficult because there are a lot of unconstitutional decisions made by traffic police officers which cause public disorder. He says recently when he was driving along J1, he was stopped in the middle of the road even though he had all the documents required by law to drive on the street. James says he was surprised to be asked for a driving test certificate, and even though he has been driving for 20 years.
My concern was the process. People need to be educated if something like that needs to happen. We in South Sudan normally are more reactive in making our decisions and policies or ministerial or whatever orders, you know, without considering what processes needs to be taken on board. So that day I was harassed, I was detained, then I was taken to one of the police stations, then I was charged to pay 3,000 South Sudanese pounds. I requested to have a receipt issued to me in English. They refused to give me a receipt in Arabic.
Major General Daniel Justin, spokesperson for South Sudan Police Service, says the decision to introduce the driving test certificate was taken after police noticed several car accidents were occurring because some drivers are not qualified to get behind the wheel. Daniel says most accidents are caused by the water tank drivers, but the police decided to make carrying a driving test certificate a general rule because of the large number of accidents. He says an announcement was read on the state-run television SSBC a month ago for people to obtain the driving certificate, but the turnout was low, so police decided to go to the streets. Daniel says a driver has to apply to undergo the test and get the certificate.
Then there is a form you fill. You are assessed based on a certificate and plus your nationality. Yeah, because some foreigners, they can get the driving license if they are qualified. After that, you are sent for medical checkup. After the medical checkup, you go to the street test. There is an interview in regard to the traffic signs, tested in regard to the traffic signs. If you pass that one, then you go to the street test, whereby one of the traffic officers will be with you. So these are some of the requirements or the process you need to pass through.
Daniel says the driving test certificate is issued only once and would now be used as a compulsory requirement for a driver to renew or obtain a driver's license. He couldn't confirm the cost of the certificate, but he is urging drivers to follow a template issued by the Directorate of Police on the different fines issued if one is found to be in non-compliance with the new rule. For VOA News, I am Winnie Sereno in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Uganda, where security at the Elegbu-Uganda South Sudan border crossing has been tightened as hundreds of South Sudanese try to force their way into Uganda seeking food. Ugandan security officials say they are overwhelmed by the numbers. For VOA News, Catherine Nambi reports from Kampala.
For the past week, Ugandan authorities at the Elegbu border, which is located just across the Uganda-South Sudan border from the much larger city of Nimule, say they are battling to restrain entry of South Sudan nationals into the country. Officials say that they receive an average of 100 South Sudanese nationals walking to the border each day who want to cross into Uganda, but the borders remain closed to stem the spread of COVID-19. The South Sudanese nationals say they don't have enough to eat and want access to the relief food being supplied to refugees in the settlements. Most of those trying to forcefully overpower the guards, while others cross into Uganda at more porous borders. Scores of South Sudanese have entered Uganda as registered refugees, but have since moved back to their home country following the return of relative peace. Patrick Odong is the district health officer with the Amuru Border District.
The people who are stuck at the border are actually South Sudanese who were in South Sudan and have heard that there's a distribution of items in the camps. So they want to enter back into Uganda and go and receive these items. But as you are all aware, the country is at lockdown. There is no inter-district travels. Then what of international travels? So it is something which can only be handled by the higher authorities.
As Uganda battles a deadly second wave of the COVID-19 pandemic, some Ugandan officials say they believe that allowing the South Sudan nationals into the country could worsen the situation. Ugandan Member of Parliament Norman Ochero wants security beefed up and increased surveillance along the border with neighboring countries, including South Sudan, to ensure that all those entering the country are COVID-free.
Right now, you can see across many Sudanese intend to cross to Uganda, even without any health test results. And this one increases give a very serious risk to citizens of Uganda. We are seeing a lot of struggles. So I think what I've observed is that the security need to be a bit more serious, increase vigilance to ensure that people who are not tested don't enter into the country.
The Amuru district, where the Elegbu border post is located, is one of the epicenters of COVID-19 infections in Uganda. Uganda has recorded 90,656 COVID-19 cases, with 2,392 deaths. Only Ugandans with negative COVID-19 certificates are allowed back into the country. This is Catherine Nambi for VOA News in Kampala.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, the highly infectious COVID-19 Delta variant has been detected in South Sudan. Find out where after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
if you could be famous, what would you like to be famous for?
I don't know if I want to be famous for anything in particular, but I think being famous in a way that is beneficial to other people, say be famous for having like a really solid foundation that in turn inspires other people to also give back.
I would like to be famous for inventing new things, coming up with new and innovative ideas.
I'd wish to be a vibrant politician in my country, and I would wish to be known for being a very good politician.
I would love to be famous in the sector of acting, like as an actor. I love to be an inspiration to others. Yeah, I like to inspire people.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. And in our Tuesday Health segment, we take a look at COVID-19 transmissions in South Sudan. Health officials in South Sudan have confirmed The presence of the infectious COVID-19 Delta variant in the country. Dr. John Rumono, the Director General for Preventive Health Services at the Ministry of Health, says 4 cases of the variant have been confirmed following recent investigations of 35 samples collected in Juba. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
Dr. John Rumono, Director General for Preventive Health Services at South Sudan's Health Ministry, who also doubles as the Acting Incident Manager for COVID-19 operations, says medical workers collected samples in April, May and June and were recently sent to the Uganda Virus Research Institute to be tested.
Out of 35 samples sent, 15 were sequenced, but out of those 15, 4 of them were Delta variant. We have the details of who those people are, but generally, yes, I think all of them came from outside the country. They are important.
This is the first time South Sudan has confirmed the Delta variant in the country. The Delta variant was also recently confirmed in Uganda and other neighboring countries.
Our fear is we are not testing enough. Now at the moment, most of the tests are Juba-centric, and also more than 60% are the test. More than 60% of the samples coming from pre-travel testing.
Joseph Wamala, the emergency response officer at World Health Organization in South Sudan, is calling on the government to make sure that authorities are checking all of those entering the country are vaccinated to prevent the Delta variant from spreading in order to avoid the scenarios in neighboring countries where there has been a surge in confirmed cases and COVID deaths.
It's actually responsible for many of the transmission surges in the neighboring countries. And given that it has been reported here, I think it's only a matter of time when we will start seeing cases also going up. I think what this calls upon, this therefore call requires that as a country, one, we strengthen our measures at the points of entry to ensure that we enforce the SOPs at the points of entry.
SOPs are standard operating procedures aimed at preventing the spread of the virus. Wamala says the government needs to step up its communication efforts to ensure the public understands and adheres to the COVID-19 preventive measures. He says standard operating procedures require that people crossing into South Sudan at border points present valid COVID-19 negative certificates to health officials and that those without certificates need to be checked for the virus. Wamala says the country's surveillance network should also be improved so that officials can detect any such of a transmission. He says authorities also need to improve quarantine and testing capacities, noting that most of the current tests being carried out occur among travelers.
We should also be able to investigate community deaths to rule out COVID. We also need to be looking into our readiness capacities. As I mentioned earlier, readiness capacities to manage cases. Many of the countries that are going through a surge currently have struggled with having enough oxygen to manage the severe and critical cases. So we need to also be looking into our capacities to provide enough oxygen to those who need it to survive.
Wamala says more South Sudanese should be vaccinated. The Health Ministry announced a few days ago that it ran out of the AstraZeneca vaccine. Healthy officials say another batch of vaccine doses will be delivered to the country on an unspecified date next month. Rumono says South Sudanese need to overcome the stigma attached to people who test positive for COVID-19.
That is one of the biggest challenges, which is making people not to, you know, not to call for help. That's one. Number two, people who are found positive, who are supposed to list their contact, also they are not forthcoming with listing their contact. That's another setback.
South Sudan health officials have confirmed that 191,070 testing samples have been collected across the country, with 10,967 confirmed COVID-19 cases and 117 deaths. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
Still on COVID, residents in Britain celebrated the end of coronavirus lockdown restrictions Monday. It's something they called Freedom Day. The day ushered in an end to all restrictions which were imposed to fight the spread of COVID-19. Victoria Smith is in London, and International Edition's host Steve Miller caught up with her to see how the day went.
Well, I can tell you, Steve, that the celebration started at midnight when nightclubs reopened for the first time in a while, and that meant that there were queues around the block. Of course, some youngsters turned 18 when this whole pandemic began and have had to wait all this time to get into nightclubs. So they did their waiting last night, and there were lots of scenes of young people and not so young people on the streets trying to get back into nightclubs. Of course, Freedom Day means no social distancing, no limits on large gatherings, indoor and out, and no masks. And I can tell you, I've been on a London bus today, and we were divided. There were half of us wearing masks, half of us not wearing masks, and everybody looking around just to see what everyone else is doing. So there's a real sense of a divided opinion here in the UK because of Freedom Day. And all of this because, of course, cases are continuing to rise, and our Prime Minister and two of his senior members of government are self-isolating. The figures, Steve, are around 50,000 new cases a day. Now, that takes us almost up to the levels of the wave last winter. The difference is, the reason why we've gone ahead with this Freedom Day is the prediction there will be fewer hospitalizations and deaths. So the government is calling it a sweet spot, a time when, if not now, when? That's Boris Johnson's newest mantra. He's saying schools are breaking up for the summer. The good weather means people can meet outside still. So now is the time to do it. But is it? At a news conference earlier on today, he and his team sounded decidedly nervous. And they urged us all to ease back into normality very slowly. And of course, the irony that he led this national press conference while in self-isolation himself meant there were some very mixed messages coming out on Freedom Day today.
So how are these concerns being managed? Because there's some reporting that, you know, Freedom Day was also a pingdemic. You know, when we spoke on yesterday, you mentioned this national health app that would ping you, alert you to know that if you were in close contact with someone who had tested positive. So moving forward, what is the strategy since you are riding this crest of new infections?
Well, the strategy appears to be an experiment. We're the only country in Europe that's trying this, what is, to be honest, an experiment in herd immunity. We know the infections will rise. They'll rise a lot to over 1,000 hospitalizations a day. The risk of getting long COVID, which we're just beginning to learn about, that will rise. And of course, the virus could mutate again, because although the vaccination program is going well here, it's still got a way to run. Some 35% of the population and not yet double jabbed. And yeah, as you mentioned, Steve, because more of us are going to get infected and spread the infection, we're all going to be pinged by this National Health Service app telling us to self-isolate. I've been pinged 3 times already before Freedom Day, because apparently the Bluetooth goes through walls, and if there's somebody in the next room at work that's been exposed, then you get pinged too. So the whole idea was Freedom Day was to sort of help out the economy. But what's happening is, because so many people are being pinged and told to self-isolate, the economy is struggling. People can't go to work. Shops are shutting early. And there are now calls for people to delete the very app that's meant to be protecting them.
That is almost a drastic step, because that would seem to, you know, be counterintuitive into preventative measures. One last question for you. You know, Boris Johnson is able to do this because he's the prime minister, and you're talking about England. Within the United Kingdom, there's also Wales and Scotland and Northern Ireland, which have their own separate health policies in place. Have they commented about what they're seeing in England on this first day without COVID protocols in place?
Well, they certainly have. The Northern Ireland Deputy First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, she says she's quite disturbed by some of the scenes here in England on Freedom Day, as I say, we've been celebrating since midnight. And she's calling the Prime Minister's plan reckless. Now, all the other nations that you've mentioned, they will eventually be relaxing some of their restrictions from later this month, some in August. But there'll be more caution exercised in all of those countries. For example, face masks will remain on public transport and social gatherings will be smaller. So England is kind of going it alone when it comes to returning to so-called normality. And yes, that has attracted some criticism from the other nations that will be watching and waiting to see what happens next.
That's reporter Victoria Smith in London, speaking with International Edition's Steve Miller.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Moudou. The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
That's all we prepared for you today. Tell us what is happening in your area. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. We'll air your comments every Friday. We now leave you with the song Morkab Wahid by Emmanuel Kembe. Listening to Emmanuel Kembe with the song Morkab Wahid. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
just let